David Prude and Dennis McCormick. To see our shows and podcast, video, or audio, you can go to democracynow.org. You can also get our daily digest. Just go to democracynow.org to sign up. Also, to see the various topics we cover throughout the years, our 27 years, you can go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You can either call or go on our website, www.wusb.fm.
Yes, the number is 631-632-6901. To support WUSB, keep us broadcasting over 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as on the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, time for another edition of Off the Wall. good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, Kyle.
And yeah, it's important. We can't overemphasize this. It's important to support the radio station. Give a call to 631-632-6901. If there is no answer, or if it goes to voicemail, leave your name and number, and somebody will get back to you to take your pledge information. You can also do it digitally by going to WUSB.FM and filling out the various forms that pop up, including a form to pick a premium, if you want a premium, and to give your payment information. It's all very, very simple, and it all ends on Saturday. Saturday is the last day of the Radiothon, so this is our last show. We can encourage you to do that, as we just heard the most memorable tune. Kyle, you were mentioning how we played that the Hustle thing last week. It's not a hustle. Again, it's not a hustle. The song is the hustle. It's a takeoff of that particular song. But we played it during the show last week, and you commented only a couple of days ago that it was still stuck in your head.
Not only that, I think some other programmers have been debuting and featuring it throughout their programs as well. So over the weekend, I mean, and so on and so forth. So I've been listening to the station, and in my idle time, of course, you know, the life of leisure I lead. But hearing it got it stuck. And the other morning I woke up and I was like busy with some projects. I realized all day I've been singing this, and I've had the tune in my head, and it's not even associated with the hustle anymore. I'm thinking about Radiothon. I'm thinking about Spring Radiothon.
Wow.
Whenever I hear that. So those are great, great promos, and they are so sincere and creative and fun, and that is the spirit of the station. So get that stuck in your head, and if you want it out of your head, the best way is to send money to the radio station for your tax-deductible community radio contribution.
How does that get the song out of your head, though?
That's not important. The important thing is you'll be able to... Your mind will be set at ease. You'll be resting easy.
That's true. That's
and
true.
And the song will have greater meaning. That it'll be a deeper thing, knowing that not only does it remind you of that, but it reminds you of your contribution or your recurring contribution.
It'll be a good reminder, not a nagging memory or a persistent memory to pledge.
Well, we just sincerely hope that everyone who does pledge realizes that that reminder, this event, and other programming only comes from your participation in this style of radio station. And we are really proud and honored to share with you our thoughts and speak with you so dearly every week. And it truly is. It's only from those contributions that we're able to do it.
That's true. That's very true. We only do this a couple of times a year, and it's vitally important that our listeners step up, especially over the last couple of years. It's been very, very difficult for so many radio stations, and we are no exception to that. So please give a call, 631-632-6901. You know, as somebody who actually lived through the real song, The Hustle, I can tell you, back then, in I think it was the 70s.
Was it as hypnotic?
It was worse. it basically, it was the beginning of disco.
Ah, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I can see that. Go on.
Do that? No, I don't want to go on.
Oh.
It just wouldn't stop, you know. And
okay.
Was it Van McCoy? It was. I don't even remember who it was who did it. But it was it wasn't one of the worst disco songs either, though.
No,
It got a lot worse, but it was very catchy, extremely catchy. Couldn't get it out of your head, mm-mm. And nobody was asking to pledge W. In fact, we weren't even on the air at that point.
Yeah,
in the mid 70s, I think it was. So yeah, that's you got it easy, folks. Is what I'm trying to say. You got it easy right now. 631-632-6901, WUSB.FM, please show your support. And why don't you mention that Off the Wall is your favorite show on WUSB, in case anybody asks. We just need good vibes, that's all.
Do share. Please tell them what you get out of the station, what you enjoy. That is also something volunteer-led and community managed. So we have people that are volunteering and
helping.
The
students run the place. The students at Stony Brook run the place, and they do an amazing job, especially this year, I think. They've really taken ownership as they should. And done all kinds of creative things. Promo is just one example of that.
Yeah.
You know, the magic of WUSB comes from the mix of the old and the new. I'm the old right now, but I was the new at one point. But it's testament that people want to stick around, and it's also a testament that people are open to having people stick around. And from that, you get this hodgepodge of sound and music and ideas and thoughts and controversy. And you can't find that in many places on the FM dial.
You could still be new, too.
Absolutely,
and be old.
You could be new. Yeah.
There's plenty of old-school community members that program on the station that keep it fresh. I mean, crazy fresh here, always new.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just as inspired by the students, the networks they're tapped into. I heard just today someone was interviewing a performer, a musician, getting a really interesting backstory and biography and what motivated them. Those are things that this platform is able to elevate and bring to the people, whomever is coming from the community.
You were listening to WUSB. I was listening to CNN.
Oh.
And, yeah, you had a good experience. I had a bad experience. We'll get into this in a little bit. But
it's been...
I listened to a moron, a Class A moron. But, you know, again, let's focus on the good right now. If you listen to USB, you'll be inspired. You'll hear all kinds of cool things and broaden your horizons. And it's not about hatred. It's not about shutting people out. It's about opening up doors, occasionally removing doors. Hey, let's look at the news today, because there was a big story today. And right away, the headline here in the New York Times upsets me to the point where I feel I have to say something about it. It's about the announcement today that Joe Biden is running for re-election. Nothing really that surprising. We knew it was coming. I don't know what people think is the alternative, but that is a fact. That is happening. Deal with it. Here's what the New York Times says. You ready for this?
I think I might know where you're going. But
put the glass down, please, because
right,
we don't want a repeat of the whole... okay. Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Biden announces re-election bid, defying Trump and history. Really? You just had to get that swipe in? Look, defying Trump, I get that. What do you mean defying history? Why? Because he's older than anyone in the past? Isn't that making history? How is it defying history? I mean,
it's defying the historical precedent, but that is a clumsy way to put it.
But isn't it making history? Isn't that what history is? You do something for the first time, it's not defying history.
Yeah, it's kind of
negative. It makes it sound negative. And why, New York Times, why make it sound negative when I'll bet when Trump announced he was running, there wasn't this shot against him in the headline, in the story, for sure. Let's just look at a couple of the opening paragraphs here. President Biden formally announced on Tuesday that he would seek a second term, arguing that American democracy still faces a profound threat from former President Donald J. Trump as he set up the possibility of a climactic rematch between the two next year. In a video that opens with images of a mob of Trump supporters storming the Capitol on January 6, 2021, yeah, that happened, the president said that the fight for our democracy has been the work of my first term, but is incomplete while his predecessor mounts a comeback campaign for his old office that Mr. Biden suggested would endanger fundamental rights. And you don't have to listen to Biden to come to that conclusion. Look at what Republicans are doing all around this country right now as we speak. They are clamping down on your rights. They are restricting things. They are rolling back legislation. They're trying to turn things back, I think, before the year 1900. They are horrible people. Not every Republican is a horrible person. I know some that are actually quite nice. But the ones that are doing these things right now, the anti-trans, anti-abortion, anti-gay, anti-minority, just overall ignorance, defensiveness, you know, white power above all else. You might as well say that, because that is what they are promoting. That is a threat to our democracy. So there is absolutely no question here. And you know, another thing, New York Times, Donald Trump is not that far behind Joe Biden in age. No one ever talks about Donald Trump's age. They never say, oh, this guy's really old, too. No, it's always about Biden. Well, I got this to say to you, okay? It doesn't matter how old he is. It matters the decisions he makes. And while I don't agree with every decision he's made, and I certainly would like him to do more, he's done a lot. He has accomplished more than I think most any other Democratic candidate could have done. But I'll tell you this, he does not even have to be 100% as far as being able to communicate or walk around. I would take, you remember that Captain Pike from the original Star Trek, the guy who beep for yes, beep, beep for no? I would take that, okay, if he made the right beeps. You know, if he made the right decisions, he wants someone making the right decisions and surrounding themselves with the right people. And that is what he does. That is what he's good at. My God, we are so lucky that he emerged in 2020. I was against him at the beginning because I thought other people would be better. But most of America didn't agree with me. So I was happy that there was somebody there who could emerge and beat a real danger to our democracy. And my God, you see what's happening right now because of the 4 years that we endured from 2016 to 2020. You see what happened to the Supreme Court. You see what happened with all the judges all around the country that are now enacting horrible things. You see the trickle-down effect in various states. Now imagine he had taken the office for another 4 years. Don't think we would be having much of a democracy left to save in 2024. So yeah, I was thrilled that somebody emerged. He basically saved the country at that point. It's up to us now. And if we keep taking these easy shots at somebody who's old and saying, oh yeah, he's feeble, he stumbles, he stutters. Yeah, okay, great. And what's your alternative? What's your alternative as far as the Democratic Party? Because nobody has emerged. That's a problem. I agree that is a problem, but it's a reality, and there's nobody there that can do a better job right now. Hopefully by 2028 there will be. They really have to get their act together. But the other question is, what's your alternative for the election? Because if it ain't Biden, it's going to be Trump. And do you really want that? You really want him coming back and doing God knows what kind of damage to the country? So, yeah, let's get a little supportive here. Let's realize that if you want to fight back against the things that have been happening, gun violence, women's rights being decimated, the trans community under constant attack, and God knows what else they have up their sleeves.
Education.
Taking books out of libraries and basically changing history, literally changing history in schools. We have to fight back against that, and the way you fight back against that is by not allowing the people who stand for those things to be elected, locally, nationally. It's really in our hands. I know we keep saying the most important election ever is coming up, but boy, it seems like the stakes keep going up every time.
Yeah, and I think the short and immediate threats, the acute problems that we faced, I think, as a nation in 2020 have transformed, and some of the things have been addressed, but I agree there's much more work, much more of the job, as it were, to be done, and that's the slogan they're going with. So, and I also hear that sort of reluctance, liberal reluctance that there is in someone else, but I think you work with the candidate that you have, and at the same time, like you said, there's an entire team. There's a lot of really good people, including someone you're not hearing about, but was in the montage in his campaign video, his vice president, Kamala Harris, who gets critiqued a lot, but I think has done equally, put in a lot of work, and, you know, we don't see a lot of that, but that's exactly what Biden was during his tenure serving as vice president for Obama. And he wasn't out there as much, and I just feel like they've created a good team and could be, how shall I say, victorious again, having proven they could go up against Trump. And they, however crazy, I don't understand it, but with DeSantis and the Republicans kind of circling the wagons and trying to get everybody around this criminal, former President Trump, mm-hmm. I'm astounded at their folly. It will be that we need some team that can step up to that traitorousness and answer these foul creatures of political cynicism.
Yeah, no, well said, well said. Well, again, these horrible things are happening throughout the country, and we don't have enough time each week to report on all of them. But there are some good things. There are some good things that are happening. Missouri. Okay, first of all, the person who was getting me really upset before on CNN, and you heard this too.
Did you figure out who that
was? Yeah, that was Jay Ashcroft. That was the Secretary of State of Missouri. He's the son of John Ashcroft, former Attorney General under Bush.
Not saying much.
No, not saying much at all. And he didn't say much that wasn't completely ignorant and kind of crazy. For some reason, CNN had him on this afternoon as somebody qualified to speak about the trans community. And I'd be lying if I said I haven't heard anybody be so ignorant in the past, but maybe as far as an elected official being this completely ignorant as to what trans people are and what it means to be trans and all that, this guy basically said that when confronted with the fact, and there wasn't much confronting going on. I think it was a very softball type of interview. I don't know what CNN was thinking. When confronted with the fact that medical establishments, doctors, you know, scientists, people have said that trans people are very real, therapy helps, the things that, help me out here,
transitioning, medical, and other steps involved in transitioning.
I don't want to say therapy, it's medical procedures. Not necessarily surgery, but hormone treatment, things
but
like that.
But it's gender reaffirming, and it's in
gender reaffirming. That's the phrase I was looking for.
Process.
Yeah, it helps, and it's essential. And basically, his response to that is, well, then that the medical community does not know what they're talking about, and we conservative politicians do. So we are going to make the decisions, and screw the medical community because they don't agree with us. That is basically what he was saying. That is what it has come to in this country.
Yeah, he was like incredibly reductionist and just like, oh, well, they'll never be a this because they're not a that. And, you know, it just was really, really disgusting to listen to.
To hear that kind of hatred, that vitriol of somebody saying that somebody who is born male can never be female and will always be.
Oh.
This hatred and this, I don't understand where it's coming from, where all this fear of a community that's always been around, it's nothing new. Maybe what's new is that people are being more honest and having conversations, and that might terrify them. But this is not something that was just invented by Generation Z. They're treating it like it's some kind of a fad.
Well, it's being talked about more. It's mm-hmm. being talked about more. It's because we live in the information age. I think people forget this. There's more information out there. So just like people can network with all of their cults and crazy fanatical groups or their blessed religious Bible study crew, mm-hmm. you know, they can network with affinity groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can network with people that like certain operating systems or other interesting things. Maybe there's fruits and vegetables we enjoy. Whatever it is, that is part of living in the information age. And people are talking about this stuff more and mostly in public because they've had more protections.
Mm-hmm.
It has been less discriminated against in the overarching, you know, epoch of time, right? The current state of this in political and social discourse has been much more accepting
right.
than in the past. And that has a minority of people spreading lies about people they don't really know that much about and discriminate against,
mm-hmm.
and it is really misplaced. It's misplaced hatred for a specific group, and it it just goes on, and it is a...
Well, what they do is they find an easy way in, and I think the easiest way in is the whole sports thing, because that's a conversation that everybody can relate to, and you just imagine all these, like, you know, large men saying they're women so they can win these sports championships. Okay, you know, and most people could say, yeah, that's not right, but that's not what's happening. That's not reality. There might be some instances where there is some controversy in the world of sports, and that's something to have a conversation about for sure, but that is not what the issue is. However, you will see that it's only the first step. They will use that to get their foot in the door, to get people on their side, and then they will go after the transgender library readings, or kids that want to identify in a particular way or more comfortable identifying in a particular way. They will go after every element, every aspect. And you'll have idiots like Jay Ashcroft on the mainstream media telling you that trans people aren't real and that it's a sickness. And that is what is going to be handed down to them. This guy was talking about suicides in the trans community. He had the audacity to say that suicides happen as a result of people becoming transgender.
Like, or these treatments. The more they lie, the more they can... It's like a race to be more taboo. Like, the more they lie about it quicker, because it's in the discourse, it's a race to make it more taboo and then continue with the lie about it. And in fact, they're just, like, jumping on this issue as though it is some fad. But in reality, they're affecting people that thought they had safety and protection, but are now operating in a much more hostile environment because of these even more, like, just egregious untruths about a community that is just barely, you know, found that place in society in a thoughtful and, like, equal way. I mean, it shouldn't be relegated to the shadows and something that people aren't comfortable talking about. And
you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to. This is not something that necessarily has to affect you. You talk about things being rammed down your throat. What Republicans are doing right now, that's ramming it down our throats. That's basically saying this. It's a huge issue when it is not a huge issue. It's an issue for the people that are affected by it. All right, and they have a tough enough existence as it is without you coming along and making their lives into living hell. Look, the one thing I can say to people that don't quite get this, fine, you don't quite get this. If you choose to, you can educate yourself. If not, you can live your life. But just remember one thing. Gender and genitals don't always go hand in hand. All right, it's more complex than you think for a lot of people. Give those people a chance to be happy and leave them the hell alone. Now, here's what they did in Missouri, or what they tried to do in Missouri, in an effort to protect children. I'm reading from their own press release here. In an effort to protect children, because we see it all the time where all these people try to get children to change their sex. Is that really what they think is happening?
But that's just, they're just pushing the lie further than the original lie to make it more sensational. It's all about a race to sensation. That is so fast. It's, yes, young people might have questions. They might be confused or have dysmorphia about what their particular gender identity has been as they're becoming an adolescent and a young adult. But they're not being operated on, and that is the lie they're perpetuating to make it even more sensational and scary. And what that does is it makes people have to get into the specifics of something that they think is socially uncomfortable, because it is. It's private.
Yeah.
It should be a conversation with a doctor
and
parents and a patient.
But the doctors are the enemies now.
Well, right. They can discredit science off this wave of distrust in public governments and public health.
Anyway, I only got six words out. Let me get the rest of the or part of this press release out.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
In an effort to protect children, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey announced today that his office has launched an online forum where those who have experienced harm from gender transition interventions or witnessed troubling practices at transition clinics in Missouri can submit their concerns. This tip line stems from an investigation that Attorney General Bailey launched into a St. Louis pediatric transgender center that has been accused by a whistleblower of using experimental drugs on children, distributing puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones without individualized assessment, and even giving children these life-altering drugs without parental consent. It's all nonsense. It's all based on ridiculous allegations and fears. But the form was at ago.mo.gov/file-a-complaint/transgender-center-concerns.
And did they remark about the steps they're taking to prevent abuse of that?
Oh, no, of course not.
So they're going to get lots and lots and lots of lies.
Before you go to the site I just gave out, let me tell you, that site is no longer in operation. Why? Well, this kind of thing where you're basically turning in trans people and those who try to help them doesn't fly with most of us. And when you put something like that up, guarantee it's not going to stay up. So go ahead, try putting it back up. You're not going to succeed. You never will. Good news, though, from right here in Suffolk County. In Suffolk County, residents can now report bias incidents to a new hate crime hotline. That's according to the Suffolk County Police. The hotline is area code 631-852-HATE. 631-852-HATE. I don't have a phone down in front of me, so I can't tell you the number. Do you have one? Okay. What's HATE translate to?
4283.
Okay. 4283. So 852-4283. 631 area code. It'll be monitored by the Suffolk County Hate Crimes Unit from Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. Residents are still encouraged to call 911 in emergencies related to hate crimes if they cannot reach detectives. Detectives will also listen to messages left on weekends or overnight. They won't be listening on weekends or overnight. You leave them on the weekend or overnight, and
they'll
listen to
them the next
during business hours.
Yeah.
It's not like they sit around, you know, with a beer or something. Maybe they do. I don't know. There's no tolerance for hate in Suffolk County, they say. As much as this is one of the safest counties in the state of New York, I'd like to believe that, we are still not immune to the crime and those who spew hate towards others. So if you see people spewing racist or homophobic or anti-immigrant crap or abusing somebody due to that, that is a hate crime, and you should report it. Yeah, and it, you know, it matters. It matters. Because when somebody attacks your very being, it's a lot worse than just being attacked randomly. You know, you cannot change who you are. And a lot of us don't even know what that feels like. So take it seriously, please.
Also, that sort of like vigilantism and behavior itself begets ever more discrimination and stereotyping and misunderstanding and abuse and violence. And people acting like they know what everybody's about just because of their appearance or the way they think they are, their stereotypes. That's incredibly damaging. No one wants to be discriminated against that way. And it is just quite presumptuous and, I think just ignorant to assume you know everything about what's going on with somebody and that because your prejudice is what it is, you can treat them badly in public and in private and in various places and instances in society that people are cornered. You know, they have to go about their lives. They have to live. They're working. And it's so rude to think that you can just project all of your hatred on people because you stereotype and you want to be right about something or display power.
And like it or not, we see this constantly in many ways, whether it's through graffiti, whether it's through attacks on people, whether it's through just assumptions that we spread around. So please, let's attack this. Let's end this.
If it's allowed to go on, it'll go on and occur more, and we should not allow that.
Okay, we have to move into this segment now.
So you come into my house on the radio waves, asking for a donation on the day of my daughter's wedding. My one question to you, why would I donate to WUSB?
Well, with all due respect, your darlingness, WUSB is commercial-free, volunteer-ran radio station, and I hear your daughter loves it.
For my sweet daughter, Marciella, I'll do anything. Hey, Joey, get over here. We need to get these guys set up. Hey, Paulie, Tony, Mikey, let's get them some donations right now.
Where should we leave the envelope?
Well, you could donate to WUSB by calling right now at 631-632-6901.
What if it falls at that?
Well, if you're afraid of the feds, you could donate on the web, www.wusb.fm.
Okay, they didn't have reverb in The Godfather, I'm pretty sure of that, but everything else is fairly accurate. 631-632-6901 is the phone number to call to pledge, and you can leave a voicemail message if there is no answer, and you can also go to WUSB.FM. Here's a hint, you don't need the three W's, you can just go to WUSB.FM and fill out the form to donate there. And again, our Radiothon ends on Saturday, so every bit counts, and it's what keeps us going here at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM. I'm told we have one more of these to play, which we'll do later in the show. But boy, these things are great. I hope they come up with 100 more of them.
Yeah, top-notch. Yeah. Really excellent production there.
And congratulations are in order to the university at Stony Brook, because there's this project to create a center for climate research, education, and job training over on Governor's Island in New York Harbor. And it was announced yesterday that Stony Brook University will be leading that effort. They won as far as all the proposals go. Mayor Eric Adams said today, here in the heart of New York Harbor, we are taking a giant leap toward a cleaner, greener, more prosperous future for every New Yorker with a New York Climate Exchange. The first-of-its-kind project will make New York City a global leader in developing solutions for climate change while creating thousands of good-paying green jobs for New Yorkers and infusing $1 billion into our city's economy. The campus will be funded in part with gifts of $100 million from the Simons Foundation. That's the guy who co-founded Renaissance. But he's the good billionaire. There's two billionaires. One's evil and one's good. He's not a brother, but he's basically, he's a guy who doesn't wear socks, I think. But he donates to all kinds of causes like this. And, this is, the Simons Foundation is a part of that. Maury, McGinnis is the president of Stony Brook. She said the hub would bring together, world leaders, experts, scientists, and other stakeholders in a collaborative campus to develop climate solutions. So, yeah, that's great news.
Yes. So that is a satellite school, I believe. I didn't read the whole plan for that, but it sounds very appropriate for the school itself, and will be a beacon, I think, of innovation.
Basically, it's $700 million, 400,000 square foot campus on Governor's Island, with construction set to begin in 2025 and the opening in 2028. And the process began in 2020 to choose an anchor for that hub, which is projected to create 7,000 jobs plus 2,000 construction jobs. Hey, stop telling me that green projects are job killers. They create jobs. They create all kinds of things. They boost economies. And thousands of students from K through 12 will be hosted there through graduate level, as well as businesses, incubating businesses and things like that. So congrats to Stony Brook for
School trips, learning centers. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff that they're able to do with that as a hub. So very interesting. Who knew?
Going back to Missouri, an update to the story. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's office removed an online tip line for reporting transgender healthcare concerns after detractors flooded the tip line with false reports. In a statement to the Riverfront Times, a spokesperson for Bailey's office said the online portal was temporarily down as the office investigates a potential hack into its system. Far-left activists are trying to impede parents' ability to shed light on what happened to their children.
Far-left?
Oh, far, yeah.
How about just, like, slightly just a smidge to the left?
That's from Madeleine Searin, the Attorney General's spokesperson. Rather than standing on their supposed science to back up their facts, they're resorting to trying to hack our system to silence victims of the exact network we're attempting to expose. No, we're fighting back. We're fighting back hard. We're going to keep you from creating all the harm that you continue to create day after day. I'm sick of reading about this. Every day there's some new attack from some state someplace on rights that people are entitled to. And it's truly sickening. What I like to do in situations like this is look north. Okay, this... see what they do in Canada, and compare it to what we do here. Now, if you look up transgender rights in Canada, you find that they're pretty much a real thing. They pretty much are. You basically have the right to be who you want to be. It's not something that's controversial.
Right, it is a acknowledged a state of being or identity, or how would you say a process that you're going through medically, if you're looking at it that way.
Well, okay, I'll read the Wikipedia summation here. There are two main routes to changing one's legal gender in Canada: the immigration or federal route and the vital statistics or provincial/territorial route. Of note is the distinction between legal gender and gender marker. A legal gender, also commonly referred to as a sex designation, sex indicator in Nova Scotia, is what appears on foundational identity documents such as immigration status documents and birth certificates. While a gender marker can appear on a non-foundational identity document, such as a driver's license or photo card, a gender marker usually follows legal gender but can differ, and a change in gender marker on a non-foundational identity document alone does not provide a trans individual with foundational identity documentation that establishes such a change. Four provinces, Alberta, British Columbia, Ontario, and Saskatchewan, and all three territories, Northwest Territories, Nunavut, and Yukon, do not offer anyone not born there the ability to change their legal gender, but those who are born there have that ability. There's a chart, but basically what I'm seeing here is sanity. You know, I'm seeing people having the ability to pursue what they believe is right for them, and that's what it's all about. That's what it should be all about. And yeah, I did the same thing for abortion rights in Canada. And basically, listen to this. With all the craziness that's going on right now in our country, abortion in Canada is legal at all stages of pregnancy, subject to restrictions and regulations set out in every province and territory by the medical governing bodies. By the medical governing bodies, not by the politicians. It's publicly funded as a medical procedure under the combined effects of the Federal Canada Health Act and provincial health care systems. Abortion in Canada has not been subject to criminal restrictions since 1988, when the Supreme Court of Canada held that the existing criminal restrictions on abortion were unconstitutional. Thereafter, there have been no criminal laws permitting or banning abortion. Instead, provincial and territorial health regulatory bodies have ensured governance over these procedures, similar to most other medical procedures in the country. The general rule is that few providers offer abortion care beyond 23 weeks and 6 days. But there can be exceptions in certain cases. 23 weeks and 6 days. We're talking about 6 weeks in various states in this country now, including Florida. We're talking about criminalization. We're talking about people not being allowed to have pills, abortion pills. We're talking about people not being allowed to travel to a different state to get the procedure. You're basically a prisoner in your own state. That's what's happening in this country. In Canada, once again, sanity prevails. Why can't we be more like that? You know, they are so diverse and so full of appreciation for who they are. And that's not to say they don't have serious problems. But they're dealing with the serious problems. At least I'd like to think they are. They're certainly dealing with them better than we are.
Yeah, I don't know. It's true. And the biggest tell, this is a trend towards authoritarianism. It's the exact same politics that so many other authoritarian regimes are touting right now. And the political will to establish credibility for those regimes is palpable. I mean, you can see this rush to be more conservative here. The admiration for Hungary and so forth and so on. So I don't know if it's a fifth column or just wanting to be like these other places, to fall over yourself with how conformed and how homogenous we are, right-wing conservative in a populist global sense, at the same time that they deride Western ideals for being globalist. It's complete irony and hypocrisy, but I don't fall for it. I mean, it is so interesting that these kinds of things are totally normal and uncontroversial. You don't see the hysteria in Canada in any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the right in this country is falling over itself to who can be more authoritarian to fit the global populist trend.
Now, let's go back to North Dakota here in our country. Yesterday, they adopted one of the strictest anti-abortion laws in the country. As Republican Governor Doug Burgum signed legislation banning the procedure throughout pregnancy, with slim exceptions, up to 6 weeks gestation. That's before most people even know they're pregnant. The North Dakota law is designed to take effect immediately. Now, here's what's interesting. Last month, the state Supreme Court ruled a previous ban is to remain blocked while a lawsuit over its constitutionality proceeds. So they just came up with a very similar law and passed that instead, bypassing the Supreme Court. So last week lawmakers said they intended to pass the latest bill as a message to the Supreme Court that the people of North Dakota want to restrict abortion. Really, you want the people of North Dakota to say that? How about this? How about you have a referendum on it? All right, have a referendum the next election. But they won't do that. They won't bring it up. In fact, increasingly throughout the country, Republicans are trying to stop referendums from being offered that basically bring up the issue of abortion because they know they're going to lose. So yeah. To say the people of North Dakota want this, no, I doubt they do. I mean, Kansas proved they didn't. Wisconsin proved they didn't. Let's give North Dakota a chance to voice their opinion on this very subject.
A Times article on Dr. Fauci, I think, spoke to some of this. But I was reading that and thinking about how this has been talked about. But they've basically, really decimated their numbers, reputationally, credibility-wise, and even physically. The lies that Trump told killed a disproportionate amount of Republicans. And that's how dumb you are. That's what I'm saying. I'm really, really, really sincere. That has occurred. There are more Democrats that are alive as a result of paying attention and not believing this force-fed foie gras of GOP lies. You're ridiculous. You've outed yourself as ridiculous. It's amazing.
Well, if we let people voice their opinion in a fair way where everybody's voice counts, usually the right side wins. It doesn't always happen, but we have so many ways of preventing equal votes from taking place through gerrymandering, through disproportional representation in the Senate, through Electoral College, through all kinds of little tricks that they have to prevent your voice from actually being heard. There's a situation continuing in Montana. You hear about this? The they have a lawmaker there who was elected, transgender, and basically she is being silenced. Republican leaders in the Montana legislature are doubling down on forbidding Representative Zoe Zephyr from participating in debate into a second week. Her supporters on Monday interrupted proceedings in the House by chanting, "Let her speak." She's a first-term Democrat from Missoula. She wanted to speak about a proposal that would restrict when children could change the names and pronouns they use in school with their required parents' consent. We're not talking about operation. We're talking about changing how they are identified. When lawmakers voted to continue subjecting Zephyr to a gag order, denying her the chance to speak, the gallery, made up mostly of her supporters, erupted, forcing legislative leaders to pause proceedings and clear the room, arresting some of the people, in fact. Yeah. It's happening in Montana. It's happening everywhere. This was the latest development in a three-day fight over Zephyr's remarks against lawmakers who support a ban on gender-affirming care. Now, as mentioned, Zephyr is transgender and hasn't been allowed to speak on the State House floor since Thursday because she told her Republican colleagues last week they would have blood on their hands if they banned gender-affirming medical care for transgender youth. Apparently that crossed the line for them. Truth. Despite the fact that it's the absolute truth.
Truth to power.
People will die as a result of not getting life-saving, gender-affirming medical care.
They've been so comfortable and not doing anything.
These people have absolutely no medical knowledge or scientific background. How dare they?
But they think they can get away with
these laws.
It. Yeah.
They are getting away with it.
Yeah.
The supporters were escorted from the gallery above the State House floor, including several by force. Leaders cut the sound on the video feed, and Zephyr remained on the floor holding her microphone. She said in a statement last night, "For the third consecutive day, I have been denied the opportunity to represent my constituents in the Montana legislature and speak on their behalf. When my constituents and community members witnessed my microphone being disabled, they courageously came forward to defend their democratic right to be heard, and some were arrested in the process. I stood by them in solidarity and will continue to do so. As an elected representative, I am devoted to supporting those who speak in defense of democracy, as it is my duty to ensure their voices are heard and respected." That display followed a promise Zephyr made earlier on Monday when she told supporters on the State House steps that she planned to continue to speak against legislation that some experts and members of the transgender community, including herself, consider a matter of life and death. And she was, it gets even worse, she was silenced and deliberately misgendered by some Republican lawmakers in response to her remarks last week. Yeah, and they weren't silenced at all. They continue to refer to her as he, things that they know will be very disturbing. And this is democracy in action? No. Like in Tennessee, people have to fight back, and people are fighting back, and even the elected officials, after they get elected, are prevented from doing their job, from representing the people. So, yeah, you know, people keep saying civil war is coming. I think we're in the civil war. I think it's happening right now all around us.
It's uncivil.
It's, well, yeah, okay, fine. But it meaning it's within the country. You know, of course it's uncivil. But we can't back down. We can't back down. And we have to recognize when good things happen. Here's a good thing that happened right here, again, locally. A lot of good things happening locally. A popular principal whose sudden departure in March led to protests and rallies of support, will return to Conequot High School in Bohemia this week. Principal Michael Moran will return after he rescinded his personal leave of absence. Now, basically, the community, parents, students, were up in arms about his sudden disappearance. There was a student demonstration in the high school hallways last month. Later that month, close to 100 parents, students, and community members held a protest outside a school board meeting seeking his reinstatement. They believed he was forced out for supporting LGBTQ students. Imagine that. Yeah, because Moms for Liberty, they're everywhere. They are a fascist cult that is around and are trying to take over school boards and impose censorship in libraries and attack the trans community. If you see them, fight them with every ounce of your being. Many parents and students said Moran was being penalized for backing LGBTQ students in his initial refusal to force a teacher to remove a pride flag as directed by the district. So, yeah, disgusting, but again, when we stand up, when we're loud, when we're disruptive, we win. You just have to remember to keep doing that.
Yeah, there is absolutely no forgiveness for some of this stuff, but there is justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that justice comes from numbers and dynamics. What people are saying and how many can hear it.
And people hear you. People will hear you. Okay. I promised another one of these Radiothon promos. And this is the last one we'll be playing because Radiothon ends on Saturday. So please, folks, get your dialing fingers ready. 631-632-6901. Or go to the website, WUSB.FM. Please be generous. Pledge whatever you can afford. Keep WUSB on the air. Keep alternative thoughts and opinions broadcasting over 90.1 and 107.3.
Man, I've been wanting to donate to a radio station. The most dangerous in the nation.
Let's see it.
Fear not, young traveler. There is a station far up in the airwaves. 90.1 FM WUSB needs your help today.
All you funky cats can go on www.wsb.fm and place a donation.
Or you can call. Or you can call. Or you can call. 631-632-6901.
Wow. Oh, I had no idea we had that kind of talent in the station. That's amazing. That's one of those major groups, isn't it? It's like Renaissance or something.
Sure.
That's amazing. But please, do as they say, 631-632-6901. I can't wait till the next Radiothon where we hopefully have more of these and I can play them all day.
In the style of Radiothon promos. Radiothon doesn't last forever,
mm-hmm.
but the station will with your help.
Absolutely. And we have all kinds of ways of saying thank you. If you go to WUSB.FM, you can scroll through many of those, whether it's coffee/tea mugs or T-shirts or sweatshirts or all kinds of musical items. The important thing, though, is that you pledge something, whether it's on a monthly basis or a one-time pledge. It all counts. It all adds up. It all makes it possible to do the things that we do, which basically means continuing to broadcast, continuing to have equipment that works, improving our coverage area. We have work to do on 107.3. We're getting a new transmitter on 90.1 so that in the next couple of weeks, we will have a much better coverage back to where it was before our old transmitter blew up over a year ago. It's taken that long, but it's a major expense.
Yeah, and exciting new production systems, our music archive and library, all of those kinds of things, a huge lineup, more in-studio performances from various hosts, I'm sure, to come this spring, and a lot of events and fundraisers in the future, live shows like Bradstock over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
On into the fall, this station is full of exciting things, and keep your ears open, keep listening, and you'll find out about all of that stuff and more ways you can pledge.
And just remember, everybody who puts in their efforts to do something on the air is doing it at their own expense, completely volunteer. Many times we invest and we pledge ourselves because we believe in the place, and the place has been here since 1977. And we hope it'll be here in 2077 as well, and well beyond that. I guess that's going to do it for us here tonight, and I hope we do well on the Radiothon. Again, 631-632-6901, WUSB.FM. And we'll be back next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com.
Have fun.
Have a good night, and stay tuned for Finn.
Preserve your memories. They're all that's left.